Okay, the shir is called the Metamikdash. Okay, or in Hebrew, it's the Mikdash Amala. Okay, so I've been working on it for many years. I started with David Rindy a few years ago. I don't know, 5-7 years ago, maybe. And this is like one way to understand the area. Okay, so we'll start with a Rashba on the Perash Agados. It's based on the Gemara and Brachos. I'm just going to do this, the last part of the Rashba. Okay, so it's the Gemara and Brachos, Lama Gimel Medalev says, the Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kol Sheyesh Bodea, okay, let me start a little bit earlier. From Rabbi Elazar, Gadol Mikdash Nitein Beit Shtei Shemos. So great is the Mikdash because it's placed between. Now let me start back further. Okay, I'm going to skip a little. Amar Belazar, Gadol Dea Shenitna Ben Shnei Shemos, Shenemar Ki Kel Deos Hashem. So great is knowledge is placed between two names of God, Kel Deos Hashem. Right, so Deos knowledge is placed between the shame of Kel and the shame of Havaya. Okay. Then skip a little. Amar Belazar, Gadol Mikdash Shenitna Ben Shnei Shemos. Great is the Mikdash because it's placed between two names of God. Because it says, Shenemar Pa'alta Hashem Mikdash Hashem. Okay? So the Pasuk in Az Yashir is, Tevi'emo v'siteemo b'har nachalascha, Machon l'shiftecha Pa'alta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem konu yadecha. Right? So it's Pa'alta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem. So you see the word Mikdash is between two shemas of Hashem. Okay. Okay. So the Mikdash is great because it's put between two names of Hashem, and knowledge is great because it's placed between two names of Hashem. So the Rabbi Elazar says, "Kol sheyesh bo deya, ki'ilu nivne beis hamikdash b'yamav." So whoever has knowledge, it's as if the beis hamikdash was built in his days. Shedeya nitna bein shtei osios, u'mikdash nitein bein shtei osios. Okay, because knowledge, the word knowledge is placed between the two names of Hashem. And the word Mikdash is placed to the two names of Hashem. Okay? That's the Gemara in Brachos. Okay? It's a cryptic Gemara, and the Rashba is going to explain. Okay? But it's basically making an equation between knowledge and the Mikdash. And it's saying whoever has knowledge is if the base of Mikdash was built in his day. Okay? Okay. So I'm skipping to the end of the Rashba. He says like this. He says, Mibnesha base of Mikdash, Machal Neshifto. Okay, so Machon Neshifto, it's from the from Az Yashir, right? It's Machon Neshiftecha Pa'alta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem Konu Yadecha. So because it's the Machon Neshifto, okay. So before I go further, I know the order is tough. So let's just see Rashi on that pasuk. Okay, there's a Rashi, and this Rashi was based upon that. The Rashi is based upon the Rashi. So Rashi says, "Machon l'shiftecha, mikdash shalmata mechuvan keneged kisei shamala asher pa'alta." So there's another way to read the pasuk. It says that instead of saying machon, you read it mechuvan. Mechuvan l'shiftecha pa'alta Hashem mikdash. So it's like mechuvan is like corresponding to, right? Aligned with. So aligned with your Kisei HaKavod is the base of Mikdash. Okay, so there's an alignment between the Kisei HaKavod, the Mikdash Shamala, and the Mikdash Shamata. Okay, the Mikdash Shamata is the physical Mikdash in Yerushalayim. The Mikdash Shamala is what we're going to try to explain. Okay, the Meta Mikdash.
What's the line?
The Mikdash Shamala, the Meta Mikdash, and the Mikdash Shamata, the physical Mikdash.
Like the base of Mikdash or the Mikdash?
Base of Mikdash, yeah. Okay.
They're like aligned, like they're running on top of each other, like in Shemayim.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it, but that's not the way we're going to look at it. Okay, but that's one way to look at it.
Sorry, right.
No, that's fine. We're just going to do a little bit more of a explain. That's the literal interpretation of it. Right, we're not doing a world of Medrash here. We're trying to do something. We're doing something a little more abstract, okay? So we're not going to take it literally. Take it more metaphorically, okay?
Is the phone on? What's up with the shear?
Oh, Howie wants to know what's up with the shear. Rashba continues. He's telling us, "Nesha base of Mikdash machon l'shifto," because the base of Mikdash is the seat, the foundation of where God sits. right? It's the it's like the throne, right? V'hu banoy l'kavod l'tiferes, and the Beis Hamikdash is built for his glory and his and splendor, right? That's like the pasuk we use in by the Big Day Kahuna l'kavod l'tiferes. Okay, we'll get to that in a little bit. What kavod l'tiferes, you know, come in. V'kelav inyanav rumazim l'inyanim sichliyam. Okay, and the kelim in the Beis Hamikdash, the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach, okay, and the different and the concepts of the associated with you with the kelim, so they allude to intellectual ideas, l'inyanim sichliyam, okay, intellectual concepts. Kida Amar, and this is the pasuk the Rashi quotes four times in Perei Shagadus. He makes this point to the Beis Hamikdash Amala, and there's always the pasuk. The Gemara is based on also Gemara in Menachos. I forgot the daf. Maybe it's Chav Tesim and Aleph. Okay, Re'eva Se Batav Nisam Asher Ata Mar Bahar. So it's Hashem saying to Moshe, see, perceive, and make it according to the structure that you were shown on the mountain. Okay, so on the mountain you were shown through Nevuah, concepts. Okay, so it's saying that the Beis Hamikdash Shalmata, the physical Beis Hamikdash, and the Kelim of the Mikdash, so they are constructed in a way, they're structured in a way where they parallel and they reflect certain abstract intellectual ideas. Okay, and that's what Rashi means when it says the Beis Hamikdash Shalmat is mechuvan keneged Beis Hamikdash Shalmala. There's a kavana, there's an alignment. It means there's a duality. There is a parallel structure between the abstract Beis Hamikdash, the Meta Mikdash, and the Beis Hamikdash Shalmata. Okay, so when you, for example, study the idea, like, for example, it's just one idea. The Ramban says about the Shulchan, right? The Shulchan has, like, Shulchan Malachim, it has a certain crown, and it's the idea that Hashem gives bracha to Klal Yisrael, right? So there's a physical Shulchan, which has bread on it, physical bread. But then there's, like, a parallel idea about Birchas Hashem Hitashir, right? The bircha, the bracha of Hashem, it enriches, right? It comes out in every Shabbos, right? So there's certain ideas about in the world of metaphysics that are paralleled in the physical structure of the Beis Hamikdash. It's not just a physical place. Okay, I'm going to develop this idea a little bit more. Okay, but this idea, there's an alignment, there's a correspondence between concepts and a physical place. Okay, maybe I'll do it now. Visham Mori Torah Mevinei Das, and in the Mikdash are the people who teach the Torah and the people who understand knowledge. Okay. When we sham shov in Ruach HaKodesh, from the Beis Hamikdash is where people would go actually to get Ruach HaKodesh, right? Do Shafta Mayim B'Sason. That's the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, according to one shot. Okay. So that's the, who's the Mori Torah Mevinei Das? That's the Kohanim, right? It's like the bracha that Moshe gives them is Yor Mishpatecha Yaakov V'Saras Chol Yisrael. That's what Sheva Levi does. They teach, they instruct the Torah. They're teachers of the Torah. And also Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin sits right outside the Beis Hamikdash. Lishka Sagazis was right outside the Beis Hamikdash. Samach to the Mizbeach. Right, Parsha Mishpatim is right after the Parsha of the Mizbeach, after the Sarasa Debros, to teach you that they should be placed close. So in the Beis Hamikdash, you have the Kohanim, and you have the Sanhedrin. Okay? So it says, Omer Shu Gadol Shintim Ben Shtei Osios Halalu. So it's saying the Mikdash is so great because in its place between two ideas of Hashem, right, two shame names of God. And somebody who has knowledge, or intelligence rather, so he knows and he understands, he conceptualized through his own understanding, everything that you could comprehend from the forms of the Beis Hamikdash itself, and anything that the instructors of the Torah would teach you when you were there. That's why it says, anybody who has knowledge, intelligence, it's as if the Beis Hamikdash was built in his days. Lomar, meaning to say, Shemidaito Yasig Ma Mimori Hadea Vatora, Mitsiyura Beis Hamikdash Bios Hamikdash Banoi. So through your own knowledge and your own mind, you're able to comprehend what the people who would teach knowledge and Torah would teach you from the form of the Beis Hamikdash and the Kalim when the Beis Hamikdash had been built. Okay, so let me just develop this point. That's the Rashba. Okay, let's see if I can develop this, explain it, because I don't think I was successful the other time so much. Okay.
Excuse me, Rabbi Zimmer.
Yeah, go ahead, Leslie.
Could you just explain one point before you go on? What does it mean between the two names of God? I don't know what that means.
Oh, in the Pasuk, it says, in Az Yashir, it says, Machom Shiftecha Pa'alta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem, Konuni Yadecha. So it says the word Mikdash is placed between two names of Hashem. Right? Pa'alta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem. So the word Mikdash is between the two names of Hashem. And also knowledge is placed between, in a pasuk in Shmuel, it's Kikel Deos Hashem. Right? So Kel Deos Hashem. So the word, the idea knowledge is also placed between the two names of Hashem. And it's trying to say that there's, so to speak, there's two different vehicles, two different methods of arriving at a knowledge of God. One is the base of Mikdash, and the other is knowledge. And Rabbi Lezer is saying...
And they prove this from...
It's a drash. It's just a drash based on the fact that the word Mikdash is placed in between the name of Hashem. It's in the midst of the name of Hashem, surrounded by the concepts of Hashem. The Mikdash is surrounded by concepts of Hashem, and so is knowledge. That's what it means. It's a drash. Okay? But the concept that Rabbi Elazar is bringing out is that whoever has knowledge or intelligence is if the base of Mikdash was built in his days. Okay? So let me just give try to develop the idea a little bit. And then we'll try to expand on it. But first, just what the basic concept is. Okay? So I think that the first thing is the base of Mikdash, of course, in a certain sense, was a makom of Avodas Hashem, where you would go, and the Kohanim would be involved in Avodas HaKarbanos, right? In serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the only place where you're allowed to be Makriv Karbanos, and they brought the Ketores, and they lit the menorah and the Shulchan, and the whole processes of Avodah occurred there, okay? That's one idea of the Beis HaMikdash. It's the Makom Avodas Hashem, okay? And maybe you could argue it's the most primary idea of the Beis HaMikdash, right? And people would go, and they would go, and they would watch, right? And there was, you know, the show in the morning, the show in the evening. We developed this one time. Idea of holy theater, if you recall, I don't remember if I was with you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, holy theater. There's like these shows, and there's artistry, and there's music, and it's drawing people in. There's the morning show, the Tamid Shel Shachar, and then there's the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, the evening, right? And there was an aesthetic appeal to it, and right, there's the music going on and singing, and it's Avodas Hashem, and it's, you know, and you go there, and there's the whole idea is it's theater, and it's a performance, but it's also real. It's Avodas Hashem. And we take it seriously, but it's also there to, it's like an art in a sense, and it draws people in who would go in the morning, who would go in the afternoon to see the works in the Mikdash. That's one idea of the base of Mikdash. Okay, that's not the idea that we're going to be talking about here. We're going to be talking about more of an idea of a holy museum. Okay? A holy museum. What's the idea of a museum? Okay, so this is a little bit, it's not a dead museum, it's a living museum, but what's a museum is you go there, you see artifacts, you see objects. Okay? And the objects have little plaques associated with them, which they explain the concepts of those objects. Okay, so there's a physical object, and there's concepts associated with the objects. That's what a museum is. And you walk through the museum, and you see different objects, and it's a visual. You see it. It could be audible. You hear it. And then it brings to mind certain concepts that are associated with those things. Okay? And in the museum, you know, you go along, there's a tour guide who points out to you and tells you the story about these things, and he tells you about ideas about them that might not be in the plaque itself, and he points out to you certain details and certain particulars about the object, and he brings to mind certain concepts of those, of the place, the museum where you are, okay, and you have the tour guide, okay? So the same thing you have at the base of Mikdash, okay, is that, not the same thing, but it's a Kedusha, it's a holy museum, okay? Now, the little plaques are the parshas in the Torah. Well, they didn't put the plaques on the menorah or little, you know, the parshas of the Torah. But we have a psukim in the Torah, which talk about the details of the base of Mikdash. And you have the Rishonim, which explain the concepts behind that. So there are ideas associated with the kalim, with the structure of the Mikdash itself, the idea that there's a chatzar, there's certain dimensions to the chatzar. Once we gave a shiur about the mathematical ratios. Are you guys there for that? The meta-mathematical things? Rafi had too much meta-mathematics. But the mathematics, right? The different ratios at the poles, right? 10 poles in the front, 10 in the back, and the... No, forget about it. Okay? So there's different ideas associated with how it's built and the structure and how it's built. As an aside, Isaac Newton was very into learning about the base of Mikdash, particularly Vidit Shlomo's Mikdash and Yecheskel's third Mikdash. That's one of the main things he spent his life involved in.
Is he the first base of Mikdash?
I think he's very involved in Yecheskel, the third base of Mikdash. Also Shlomo. He had Shlomo encoded a lot of deep ideas in the Mikdash. And he like wrote hundreds and thousands of papers about this.
Isaac
Newton? He was very into it. Very into it.
Do we have access to these papers?
I think you probably could get access to them. Somebody bought them or something. But yeah, he was into that, alchemy and physics. Okay. So...
Alchemy?
Yeah, I was big into alchemy, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, for sure.
As an aside.
But Newton was into this idea, okay? Newton held by Yichud Hashem, for sure, by the way. If you look in his Sholom, it's at the end of the Principia.
His what? His Sholom?
At the end of the Principia, yeah. He talks about Yichud Hashem. It's unbelievable. He got it from the Rambam. I think he learned the Mora, I think.
Yeah, but for sure. He had to learn the Mora.
I'm pretty sure he did. But that's a different discussion. Okay.
Next week,
yeah. Okay, so... yeah. So the idea is the same thing in the Beis HaMikdash, is you go to the Beis HaMikdash, and there are concepts associated with these different kelim and the structure of the Mikdash, the Heichal and the Chatzer, and the different dimensions, and different, which kelim are gold, right, and why the Adanim are silver, and like, you know, the different metals, and the different, something's Maisa Choshev, when it's on both sides, when it's not only on one side, and when you would go there, you would try to, you know, you learn the Torah, and you go there, and you see it, and it's in a sense, it's what the Torah did is it took the ideas of learning about God and serving God and approaching God and how to approach God, how to get close to God, right? And it took the idea of how to get close to God by getting close to God in terms of ideas, and it made a concrete physical mashal about it. Okay, instead of a mashal being a general way of mashal is like in Mishlei, is you have a verbal mashal, is you have one of words in a phrase, and it's a parable for a concept, okay? And it's usually, mishalim are usually given verbally. But what the Torah did is it took concepts, and it re'eh v'aseh b'tav nisa mashal t'ar marim b'ha'ar, you know, and the Rashba somewhere else, he says, v'chein tasu, also you should make it. Is that there's intellectual structures and there's a dual of the intellectual structures in a physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So it took the ideas and it concretized abstract ideas in a physical place with physical kelim. And as you go through the Mikdash, you're supposed to look at the kelim and it's supposed to bring to mind different concepts in the Azara and the Chatzar and the Avodas HaKarbanos. And if you have a question, you don't understand, you ask somebody there and there's Kohanim there, who their job is to understand these ideas and to instruct you about them. Yom Shtechel Yaakov and Saras Chol Yisrael, that's what they do. The Kohanim are there. And if you have problems, the Sanhedrin, the greatest Chachamim and Klai Yisrael are right there. Right? The Mori HaTor, Mevinei Hadas are all there. And they're the tour guides. And then you go there and you take, you know, the morning show and the afternoon show. But then you want to learn about the Mikdash, you understand the ideas, and you try to do it yourself. But then you ask the people who are there, and they're instructing you, and they're teaching you about these parallels and these different ideas, each to their own level, okay. And that's the idea of the Rashba of the purpose of the Mikdash. In a certain sense, is not merely the physical building and the kelim, but it's to concretize the ideas. So if you have knowledge and you can get those ideas without going through the physical structure, then ultimately, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash is built, because the purpose of the Mikdash is, so to speak, to teach you these ideas of how to worship God on a deeper plane than just the physical Avodas HaKarbanos. And it's supposed to teach you how to get close to God on a metaphysical level, not on a physical level, right, which is impossible, but there's a mashal of getting close to God on a physical level, right, that you're going the Kodesh HaKadoshim and you get closer and closer to the Shekhinah. That's the mashal. But the nimshal is how to approach God intellectually through concepts, which we're going to explain a little bit more. What are the different frameworks of Mikdash HaMala? Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Just how does that differentiate between or what's the difference between the Mikdash having physical objects reference concepts than let's say Sukkah, which also had like the sukkah, like is supposed to reference whatever the olos or the anos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's actually, it's similar. There's a similarity in that idea. Yeah, there's a similarity in that idea that the sukkah can never remiss. It's not. Yeah, there is a similarity between that. It's just the base of Mikdash is like it's a whole system of it, it's like a whole world in a sense. It's basically just like an entire complete system of teaching you about the core idea of Avodas Hashem and Kirov Lashem. But yeah, there are
Rabbi Zimmer from the Azara. People could see this.
What?
From the Azara, they could see all the Kli and Mikdash.
No, they only on the Regel. On the Regel, they would, for example, they would take out the Shulchan and show it to the Oli Regel. So certain things you can only enter with your mind. There's certain areas, the Beis Hamikdash, example, the Kodesh Hakodashim, the Aron, you can't enter. You can't really see that. You have to, so to speak, use your mind in order to picture the Aron. And then you can try to get to the Ramazim. So, you know,
even the menorah and all the concepts contained in that, the people didn't see
Aron,
that.
Maybe they did. There's a Gemara, they opened in Yuma, maybe, where they even showed them the Aron, no?
They showed them the parochas.
On the Kruvim, with the Kruvim, this, that, Kruvim. Yeah. Yeah, because so the Oli Regalim, maybe the Oli Regalim, they would show that to them.
They would show them the menorah and the mizbeach?
I think so, yeah. I think there's a Gemara in Yuma. Yeah, I think so. But they would take it. Certainly, they would take. They definitely have this halacha. You have to take out the shochan and show it to them. That's like b'mizbach ha-tahor. But I think there's a Gemara in Yuma where they would show them the aron. Even maybe. I may have wrong. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, certain things, you know, in general, certain things are available for everybody to see. Certainly, the mizbach ha-nechoshes, and you know, the mikdash itself and the different structures in the mikdash. You know, but the kelim, the innermost kelim, you know, they're not going to be available for everybody. You know, they're there. And you could study them, but, you know, some parts of the museum are off limits to, you know, not every person can go everywhere. Maybe certain special occasions, they're shown them, you know, but not necessarily every day can you go to every single part. But it doesn't mean you don't know that they're there, and you can ask a Kohen what's in there, and he'll tell you, and he'll describe it to you, you know. But it's what the Torah did is the Torah wants to make the ideas of Hashem more real to a person, and it wants to make it more available to Klal Yisrael, not just the intellectual elite of of Klal Yisrael, which is very few, but to bring it to everybody in Klal Yisrael. And when you have a physical mashal, it's something that everybody can relate to. It's something that draws a person's emotions. There's visual, there's audio, it engages his senses, and it brings a person in. You're able to reach many more people on a much wider range of people, and in a different way when it's done through a concrete physical building and objects than when it's purely done through ideas and words. You try to teach people Torah about the Parshas Truma Tetzava and Yaakov Akudeh, it's not so easy, you know? Not everybody, not that many people show up. But you try to, but a physical base of Mikdash, you know, with music and with kelim and you know, gold and silver and the beauty of the whole thing, people show up to that and they ask questions and they're curious and you instruct them and you teach them and it reaches their mind in a different way that can really impact them, that you're not going to necessarily be able to reach them purely through, you know, Talmud Torah. Okay? Okay. Okay, is it clear that first idea? Okay, good. So now the question is what are the different frameworks of the Mikdash HaMala? So I'm saying the Mikdash is a whole world, and there's a parallel to it. Okay, so I think the Rashba, when he says Mori HaTorah Mevinei Hadas, the instructors of the Torah and those who understand knowledge, right, who make knowledge understood. So I think he's alluding to two different frameworks. Okay, but I'm going to go to the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim to try to bring it out, but it's really, I'm trying to explain the Rashba. Okay, so this is Rambam the Mor Nevuchim. It's Chelek Gimel, Perek Nun Aleph. So it's a, it's not the easiest perek in the Rambam, but I'm really just trying to take the Rambam's, really the most basic thing from this Rambam, okay, about the two different frameworks. And I don't really want to get bogged down in the, how to work out the whole Rambam, mostly because I really can't, okay? Okay, so the Rambam, I'm going to start from Hivahinani Posech Zadvarim Meperek Zeb Mashal Asher Esalacha. So Rambam says, I'm going to start off things with a mashal that I'm going to tell you. Okay? The Omer, so Rambam's like this. Ki Amelech Barmanusa, the king is in his palace. V'chol Anshe Mashmauso. So all the people, I guess, who are in theory supposed to listen to him. Mehem Anashim Be'ir, Mehem Echutz Le'ir. Some people are in the city, and some people are outside the city. And the people who are in the city, Some of them, their back is to the king's courtyard, and they're facing away from him. And some of them who are their objective is to get to the Chatzar Melech, Upanav Klapov, and they're facing him. Mivakish likanes lechatzer olam lefanav. And they want to enter his courtyard and to stand before him. Elishad kol lora klal chomos hachatzar. They just don't know exactly where the walls of his courtyard are. V'yesh min aponim, mishe giyad hachatzar. And there are some who actually reach the walls of the courtyard. V'hu makiv seviva mechapis es pischa. And they're circling around trying to find the entrance. Mehem mishe nechnas min hachashar. Some of them enter the gates. V'hu mahalach b'pruz dodim. And then there's like an inner area. Okay, so I think chatzar is probably not the greatest translation. Who might argue the kafach? But it's, you don't want to use chatzar for both. But like another structure. Okay, I would call it the palace of the king. Okay, I think the English translation has it that way actually. Yeah, it does or no?
Yeah,
it has palace. Okay, good. Bimso besoch chatzar adain in a roas amelach. Even when you get into this inner structure, the palace, you still don't see the king. Omedabri imo el achim so besoch chatzar adain mutalov to halach acher lasalzbo. You still have to make another effort. Ve'achkach yimtzel ifnei amelach v'yiru meirachok mekarov, and then you could be see the king from afar or close. Or yishma divrei amelach or yedabri imo. Okay, you could hear the king speak to him. Okay, that's the Rambam's mashal. Okay, the basic idea: there's the king in a palace, and there's a city. Right, what are the basic elements Ram has? He has the king is in his palace, right, the Heichal, and there's a city. We'll call that city Yerushalayim, right, the ear of Hashem. And there are people who are in the city, people outside the city. There are people here who are facing Nochach HaMikdash, facing the Mikdash, which is Halach and Tefillah, right, and the people who are facing away from the Mikdash, not good. The people who are circling around the Chatzar of the Mikdash or the Azara, people who enter the Azara. Then they get into the Heichal, and even in the Heichal, there's a Kodesh and a Kodesh Hakdashim, right? There's two different levels in the Heichal itself. There's a Kodesh at the inner room, and there's the outer room. Okay, so more or less, whether it's a perfect correspondence or not, it's certainly very similar. Okay, and the Rambam is, in a sense, presenting his own mashal, but if you realize, it's very much the mashal that the Torah uses for the Beis HaMikdash, right? The idea of the Beis HaMikdash is it's a palace. It's called a Heichal, the palace. And the Aron is the throne, right? Ramban explains it's a reference to the Kisei HaKavod. Ramban over there, and the Aron brings in the parallel between the Yecheskel's Mar Nevuah of the Kruvim, right? Kruvim in both cases, and Ramban makes a point to that. And the Aron, he openly calls the Kisei HaKavod, and it's and Psukim is Shem Hashem Yoshev Bein HaKruvim, right? So it's the idea of a throne, God's sitting on the Machon Neshiftecha, right? The Kisei HaKavod. And then, and it's the whole structure of a palace. Right? It's basically a structure of palace and a courtyard and a capital city, right? And all the different elements in the Mikdash. The Rambam's mashal is also presenting. Okay, then the Rambam says he's going to explain to you the mashal. So again, I don't want to go into the exact thing he's trying to do. So I'm going to do some of it outside and a little bit I'll do inside. I just want to show you the Rambam. One of the strange things about the Rambam, this is what I'm here for, is the Rambam interprets the mashal in two different ways. Okay, and that's the problem with the Rambam. Okay, but he's like this. So he says I'm gonna explain to you this mashal. So the people that are outside the city, their people have simply no religion whatsoever. They have no concept of religion. They're basically like primitive barbarians. Okay, people who are inside the city, they have religion, but they're facing away. They have like a false religion. Right, they have religion which takes them away from God. Okay, in a sense, they could be worse than the people who have no religion whatsoever. They're just facing away from God, and the further they go, the further away from God they get. Okay, then there are people who are turned towards the Chatzar Melech, and they want to go there, except they have never seen the actual Mikdash itself, never seen the actual Chatzar itself. And Heim Hamoni Anshei Torah, that's the general populace of Jews, religious Jews, Klomer Ame Aretz Oskim Mitzvos, just people who are doing mitzvos. They're not anywhere close to the Mikdash, but they want to be there. Okay, Aval Osim Shegila Chatzar Shemakiv and Saviva, people who have reached the courtyard, they're circling around, but they haven't got in. The people who accept the Yigal Mikarim, the basic religious principles of Torah, based on authority that their parents told them, their Rebbeim told them, they have Mesorah for these things. The Oskim B'dinei Ma'isei Avodos, and involved in the study of Halacha, right? The Dinim and the Halachos. V'lo Hisamku B'iyin HaYisodos Ados, V'lo Chakru Klal Bira Mitas Adea. but they've never really investigated the Yesod Yadas, the philosophical underpinnings of the Torah. They're involved in the study of halacha. Okay, so they're Chachmei Yisrael, but they're not involved in the philosophy. They're involved in studying the Gemara and the halachic areas. Okay, Osama Shiris Askubi Ina Yesod Yadas, people involved in the philosophy about Nevua and Bechira and the different, the different philosophical ideas. For Nichnasil Prozod, they already entered into the inner parts of the Chatzar. Ubnei Adam Sham, Shonim Ma'ilas and Blisafik, find the different levels, and the Ram goes on. Okay? I'm not sure if he refers here to the. That's the thing, the problem with Ram, his mashal doesn't fully work out. Everything doesn't parallel perfectly. I'm not going to go into that. Okay, the point is over here is in the first interpretation of the mashal, the Rambam's learning it in a religious framework, religious Torah framework. Right, the different levels are people who have no religion whatsoever, people who are osek in mitzvos, people who learn halacha, people who are involved in like the deeper parts of the Torah, the philosophical areas of the Torah. Again, there's different levels of each and different things, but that's the framework which he interprets the mashal on the first go round. And then he says, "Vidabani, know my son." Shekozman Shata, I guess he's writing this to one of his students, right? Shekozman Shata misasik b'madoyim ha'iskashratayim b'malechas umlechas ha'igayon. So long as you're involved in like preliminary studies, and they're on the early in the Perek Aleph, it's geometry and arithmetic, mathematics, and logic, areas that like, you know, linguistics maybe, the areas that prepare you, preparatory studies that lay the groundwork for how to think and how to analyze the world. You're involved in those people who are going around the chatzar looking for the door. Benchom is still outside. I mean, he's involved in mathematics and logic. He still hasn't gotten inside yet. When you're involved in the natural things, right, the natural order, biology, physics, things like that. Now you're already into the inner areas.
Biology and physics?
And Tivium, natural things. Study RMs in zoology, right? The physical world, the natural world. Not the preparatory area, not logics and mathematics, but the physical world. Vakasha Tashlim Esativios, once you understand let's say physics, biology, right, that area, the natural sciences. Involved in metaphysics, ideas of angels, things like that. You're ready into the inner room. Okay, and then the Rambam goes on. Different, even there's obviously different levels. But the Rambam has two different interpretations of his mashal. Right, the first interpretation he gave, and again, it's a problematic Rambam. Like I said, the two different interpretations, none of them really fully parallels the mashal he gave. And the question is, does either one of them fully parallel the Mikdash and Yerushalayim and the Heichal Mechatzer? Okay, but the idea that he's interpreting this mashal of approaching God and coming close to God, there's the approach in terms of the Mikdash of the king and his palace, the mashal itself, and then you have approaching God in terms of a Torah, a religious framework about doing mitzvos, involving yourself in mitzvos, studying the halacha, studying the Yesodei HaTorah, and then you have another idea of approaching God through mathematics and sciences and metaphysics and philosophy, a different way of approaching God. They're all ideas of approaching God, but one is you're doing it in the mashal. It's in a physical place by going closer in the mikdash, closer to the makom hashchina, koshik dashim, pointing nochach hamikdash and tefila, facing the mikdash, right? But again, in a physical spatio-temporal framework, and then you have it on a halachic Torah framework, approaching God by being involved in the deeper levels of study of the mitzvos and halacha and the Yesod Yadas. And then you also have the idea of approaching God and coming closer as you get deeper into the areas of logic and mathematics and science and metaphysics. Okay, getting closer to the idea of God. Okay, so the two different frameworks that the Rambam brings in that are, to explain his mashal, is the framework of the Torah religious framework, and then the scientific philosophical framework. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Yaakov.
What do you mean that the explanation doesn't fit the mashal?
I'm not sure if every single level is... I'm not sure if he explains every single level exactly, especially at the end.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I
at the end there, the once you get into the Prizdodim, then I'm not sure there should be one other level I think is missing. I'm not sure. But certainly when he takes into the mathematical scientific framework, he's not being complete.
Okay, what do you mean by two explanations?
Well, I'm saying those are two different interpretations of the mashal. Are the people surrounding who are circling the chatzar but haven't found the entrance, are those people who are engaged in halacha and gemara? Are those people who engage in logic and mathematics? And the people who entered inside, are those people who study physics and biology? Are those people who go engage in the Agaditas and the Yesodei Torah? Do you know who are they?
Right.
So it's a different, one's more of a secular, scientific, mathematical, philosophical interpretation of the mashal, and the other is a Torah, religious, halachic interpretation of the mashal. It's a different interpretation. And the Ram, you know, seamlessly transitions from one to the other, but I mean, it's a problem. Okay, but I'm getting to the Rambam, right? In fact, I'm taking the Rambam almost as a problem. The Rambam's trying to tell you both, right? Okay, so let me try to develop the point a little bit.
Okay. Rabbi Zimmer.
Yeah.
Excuse me, might I just suggest that can't you say that it's not really two different approaches, but it's really two different aspects of knowledge? In other words, the religious approach is one type of knowledge that you gain from the study of Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and philosophy and psychology. And the other study is from, in other words, both are knowledge-based. Now, you say...
I would agree. That's what I'm going to say. But I'm just the reason why I'm calling it two different frameworks is because they're two different frameworks of knowledge. They're two different worlds of knowledge. There's the I'm calling them. They're both knowledge. They're both under the realm of intellectual ideas. But like the Rashba says, there's Moria Torah Mevini Adas. There's Torah, and then there's Chachma. Right, they're like the famous statement of Chazal that if they say Torah b'gayim al tam, and a person tells you that there's Torah in the gayim, you shouldn't believe him. But if they say Chachma b'gayim tamen, but if there's Chachma in the gayim, you should believe them, right? Because the gayim have Chachma, but they don't have Torah. Okay, so there's a difference between Torah and Chachma. Maybe Chachma is a broader term that can incorporate Torah, but I mean, there's science and there's Torah. Torah umada, right? So there's Moria Torah mevini adas. So there's Mada and there's Torah. It's two different frameworks. Yes, they're both intellectual studies, but, one is through the investigation of the natural world, and the other is from Har Sinai that was given to Moshe and passed on. Two different ultimate sources. Ultimate source knowledge, of course, is Kadosh Baruch Hu, but how do you get it? Do you get it from investigating the natural world? Or do you get it from a Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu? Okay, two different frameworks. But the Mikdash is made... I think, according to the Rashba, and it would seem from this Rambam also, is that the Mikdash is made to parallel in an intellectual world, an intellectual framework, to teach you about different ideas about God's creation and how to approach God. But in both frameworks, there's a parallel. It parallels two different worlds. It parallels the world of halacha. And the world of Torah and mitzvos and things like that. You'll find that reflected in the Kalim. But you'll also find a parallel to the world of science and mathematics and logic and Maisa Bracious that's in the Torah. There's Dever Katan and then there's Dever Gadol, and the Mikdash is made to reflect both. Both that the Mikdash Shamala, the Meta Mikdash, is the intellectual concepts in these two different worlds. In the world of Maisa Bracious and science and mathematics, and then in the world of Torah and Halacha, that are both two separate frameworks, two separate spheres of intellectual ideas, and they're both two different methods of approaching God by studying these two different areas of thought. And the Mikdash is made as a concrete mashal that reflects both of these frameworks. Okay. Now, the fact that you have one physical structure that is capable of reflecting both these structures, both the world of Maisa Bracious and the world of Torah and Halacha, is because Torah and Halacha and Maisa Bracious, science, they themselves share structures, right? There's overlapping characteristics between those two. Like oftentimes you'll find that categories that you see in physics and in science, you'll find in halacha also. Okay, especially Reb Chaim. Okay, so yeah. So definitely. So it's all kol ba miroechad. It's all from one source, and the conceptual categories are shared between. That's the whole why we say learn Gemara and learn the Brisker Derech and learn how to think and conceptually, and it'll help you for understanding other areas. There's a universality of Chachma. There's certain characteristics that are universal that transcend just learning Gemara and learning Torah and studying science and mathematics. The whole idea of correspondence between two different structures in mathematics has. It's one of the fundamental principles of mathematics is dualities. You ever hear of mathematical dualities? No? Okay, you Google it. But there's an idea that in mathematics you can often have completely different mathematical areas, but they share an underlying common structure. And it's very surprising. You can, so to speak, work in one area because it's easier to work with and then translate back over to the other area. Because they run parallel to each other, even though they seem completely different, the underlying mathematical structure is the same. The very idea of duality, that's what I'm saying, the very idea of duality is a duel between mathematics and the Mikdash, or the Torah, whatever, it's a little bit of a meta-analogy, but okay. Okay, but the point I'm trying to get to is that these three areas, the physical structure of the Mikdash, the structure of the world of science, Maaseh Bereishis, and the structures in the Torah and Mitzvos, they share a common underlying essence, a common underlying structures and parallels between them, which enables the physical structure of the Mikdash to be the Tavnis of the Mishkan, to reflect the higher levels of concepts and orders of the Mikdash Shamala, because they're parallel structures. Now, how do you take these abstract ideas of Maaseh Bereishis and the abstract ideas of Halacha and Torah and Mitzvos, how do you embody them in a physical structure? That's the Chachmas Hashem, and that's what he told us, how to do that. Okay? But that's the basic idea of the base, according to, you know, this interpretation, of the Mikdash Shel Mata is Mechuvan Kenega, the Mikdash Shel Mala. Okay? Okay. Now, on that point, I'd like to develop three characteristics. Okay? Three characteristics that exists by all three systems. The system of the Mikdash, the system of Maaseh Bereishis, the system of Torah and Mitzvos. And when you see a characteristic that is exists in all three areas, you know that characteristic is really something of the underlying unity of that all three of them share. Okay, what I'm saying is there's an underlying essence that you can only grasp it in three different manifestations, but there is something that unifies all three of them. You might not be able to grasp the unity without one of the specific forms. You might need the physical form of the Mikdash, or a scientific form, or the form of Halacha and Torah, but the fact that there's parallels between them and they share these characteristics, it shows you there's some underlying essence. Okay, so I'm only taking three examples, there's more than three examples, of certain underlying features to try to understand what is this underlying essence, to some degree, to try to grasp it a little bit. Okay. So the first one I want to say is when you analyze these three areas, okay, the first thing that jumps out at you, okay, the first thing that jumps out at you is they all have, what's common to all these structures is Chachma. Okay. They all have tremendous, tremendous Chachma. Okay. So in the Mikdash, for example, when you would go into the base of Mikdash, and I'll just take a pasuk from Kisisa, but it's in Vayakal also. It says Perik Lamed Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Vaydaber Shem Moshe Leimor Re'e Karasi B'Shem B'Tzala Ben Ur Ben Chul Mate Yuda V'Amalei Oso Ruach Elo Elokim B'Chachma V'Sfuna V'Das L'Bechol Molacha L'Achshav Machashavos La'Asos B'Azal B'Kesed B'Nechoshes B'Charoshes Evan L'Malos B'Charoshes Eitz La'Asos B'Chol Molacha. Okay. And then that's right. And then Avanihin Nasatiyo Ito Es Aliyah Ben Achisamach Matedanu Belev Kochacham Lev Nasati Chachma Vasuk Es Kosher Tzivisicha. Okay, is that the very building of the Mikdash? It's not just any structure, but it was done with incredible Chachma and Sfuna and Das. That in the metalwork of the gold and the silver and the copper, and then in the weaving and the artisanship in terms of how to weave things. in terms of the carpentry, Bacharoshes Eitz, in terms of the precious stones and how to carve them. And certain things were very, very difficult, like the menorah in particular was very hard. How do you get something pure gold that can actually bear its own weight? Things like that. And there's a tremendous chachma involved in just the skilled craftsmanship involved in making a mishkan and making a mikdash. It's not something that's pashut, right? I imagine we couldn't do it. Maybe Leslie can do it, but most of us wouldn't be able to do any of this stuff. We don't have the chachma of the skilled craftsmanship of knowing how to do this. And the mishkan, the mikdash, really reflects the chachma of the Tzelem Elokim that. Of a human being that were the human beings that were able to develop all these skilled craftsmanship and the artisanship and the architecture and building and construction that human beings have come to over the course of time and developed these tremendous chachmas. And that's the chachma Bezalel. And the pasuk is showing you that when you see the chachma of the Tzelem Elokim in humans, it should really reflect where does that chachma come from. It's the creator of humanity, the creator of the Tzelem Elokim is Hashem, and the greatest chachma in a certain sense is manifest through the creativity and ingenuity of human beings. That's the greatest chachma Hashem, that he created intelligent creatures who are able to come up with these amazing ways to manipulate nature in order to build and to construct and to do all these incredible things. And you look, walk into the mikdash, and you're immediately hit by the tremendous chachma that went into building this place. That's the chachma in the mikdash. The chachma in Maaseh Bereishis is obvious, I hope, right? In the study of the cosmos, and the study of biology and the animals, and in chemistry, and in geology, and in the whole universe is Malei Chalar. It's filled with the Marabu Maaseh Hashem Kulam B'Chachma Sisa. The Chachmas Hashem is throughout the universe. That should be obvious. And then they have, of course, the Chachmas Torah, right, in the setting up a system of Tayrag Mitzvos and the abstract system of Halacha and the Brisker Derech that we talk about all the time, we love so much. And just the Chachma of the Halacha and the Torah. And that is the first characteristic that jumps at you, that when you're dealing with parallel structures, you're not dealing with you're not dealing with superficial structures and parallels, but there's a deep, pervasive Chachma that underlies all these three areas. And in a certain sense, b'chachma yastaretz, that there's the foundation of everything is really the wisdom and the knowledge that underlies everything. Okay, so one of the key characteristics that jumps at you first are these three systems, and hence of the underlying unified concept between them is wisdom and chachma. Okay. The second thing is tiferes. Okay, is the Kavod HaTiferes, like the Rashba pointed out. And splendor and beauty. Okay, and in the Mikdash, of course, the Big Day Kahuna is Kavod HaTiferes. And the Mikdash, the same ideas, is the beauty of the gold and the silver, and again, the aesthetic appeal, the beauty of the Mikdash. It's not simply the wisdom of the skilled craftsmanship, but it was done in a beautiful way to attract the eye, attract the mind, the beauty, the greatness, the music, right? So the Tiferes and the splendor of the whole place is manifest throughout the Mikdash and the Ovdim Bo. Okay, that's the Tiferes of the right of the Mikdash, and of course in the universe there's of course beauty, tremendous beauty in nature, right? The most awe-inspiring beauty that you'll see when you look at the cosmos, you look at just natural phenomenon. There's tremendous Tiferes. But in a deeper level, the very laws of physics and laws of nature is one of the, in a certain sense, surprising features of the deeper ideas and the abstract ideas of science, is that they're beautiful, that the laws are beautiful, and that scientists use beauty as a guide to understanding nature. And if they see a theory that's ugly, they say that can't be the right theory. And if, there's a famous line by Dirac, Paul Dirac, one of the creators of quantum mechanics, that they asked him about his theory, I think it was the positron, when he predicted the positron. He said, you're worried about it's not true. He said, it's too beautiful not to be true. You know, that the certain thing that beauty is one of the surprising features that they find in the laws of, on the fundamental laws of nature. And then scientists use that as a guide, right, to know what's a good theory, what's not a good theory. Okay, in a similar way, and there's a whole study of what, I shouldn't say a study, but the discussion of what makes something beautiful, what makes something not beautiful. Simplicity is generally makes something beautiful, and and it could see what's ad hoc, what's not. And it's one of the more subtle things involved in studying the world. In a similar way, you find in Torah and Halacha that if you use such a thing as you're defining an area that one of the mitzvahs, and you have an ugly svara. Okay, when you have an ugly svara, it might work, it might solve the problem, but it's ugly. So there's something wrong with your svara if it's an ugly svara. And what's an ugly svara? What's a beautiful svara? That's what, you know, that's what training does for you, and it teaches you to appreciate the aesthetics of a svara. And there's a chiddush, such a thing as a beautiful svara. And when you see it, when you have an ugly svara, that's what we call a working svara. A working svara is ugly. Okay? It's ugly, and it works, but it's ugly. So part of you realizes, as you get a sensitivity to halacha, that if it's ugly, it's not the ultimately, it's not the right formulation. The formulations of halacha are beautiful. They fit in well. They're not ad hoc. They're not ugly constructs. They don't have, you know what I mean? You don't have multiple things explaining one thing. Again, all the different properties will make something beautiful and ugly. That's something you develop by learning halacha. And when you get to an idea that's beautiful, you realize that's the right formulation. Okay, and that's gufo. That this is one of the very things that we said before of training your mind and how to notice what it means, the idea of intellectual aesthetic beauty and in intellectual concepts for something to be beautiful and ugly. That's where you really, in learning Gemara, you really learn how to tell the difference. And that's what helps you when you apply it to other areas in the natural world, when you're studying ideas in philosophy and science, because you've these ideas of beauty. It's the same thing. What makes something a svara in Gemara beautiful is the exact same thing that makes a svara in physics beautiful. It's the same phenomenon, because there's a parallel between Tiferes, between beauty and splendor, that exists in both structures. And that's why you could train your mind in the area of Halach and Davar Katan, and you'll be able to transfer those skills and that sense, intuitive sense of what beauty is, when you try to explore the world of mathematics and philosophy and science. You'll be able to, you'll have a developed sense of what that means, beauty and lack thereof. Okay. The third thing that's common is the idea of, and as I said, there's more. These are just the, you know, really the first two that hit me when I was preparing, and I put these down. But the third thing is malchus, right? And an essential feature of all three areas is malchus. Okay. The mikdash, again, should be obvious, because that's the whole idea. The king is on his throne in his palace, right, in his capital city. And the idea is the Shechina is Yoshev Ben Akruvim, and Malchus, right, right, in the Mikdash, whenever you say Amen to a bracha in the Mikdash, Baruch Shein Kavod Malchus Olam Vayet, right, that's the whole, the bracha of the Mikdash. And Naz Yashir is, right, Pasuk after Machon L'Shitecha Pat Hashem, Hashem Yimloch Olam Vayet, right, it's Machon L'Shitecha, so it's the Malchus Hashem, is the essence of the Mashal of the Mikdash, is the idea of the servants of the king, the Misharsei Hashem, the Kohanim, who are serving God, and he's the Melech in the palace. That is the very essence of the Mashal, the Kisei HaKavod. Okay. Likewise, the idea of Malchus goes to the heart of the whole idea of Torah. The whole idea of Torah is the idea of Torah is given Mipi HaGvura, and Merkaba Omachu Shemayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes there, he makes Gzeros, and he Lachukos, and laws, and he's the Mitzvah, he commands. Right, and he's if you violate his laws, then he punishes and he rewards. And the whole mashal of a king, how many times the mashal of melech, the chazal used in the Torah, the idea of Hashem's compared to a melech who commands his servants to do a certain thing, and right, Moshe is his faithful servant, and all these things. But the mashal of a melech is pervasive throughout the entire Torah, and the whole system of halacha is ultimately grounded on the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mitzvah, and the malchus Hashem is the foundation of the system of mitzvos, of a tzivoy, of a command of a king. And the system of Torah, and of course the same thing in the Bria, in the creation, that the idea of Bruch Kvod Hashem Mimkom, or Bruch Kvod Hashem Tzvah Meloch Haaretz Kvodo, the whole world manifests a certain order that it follows the Chukos Shemayim V'aretz, the laws of the heaven and earth are dictated by the reason you lose laws, a lawgiver. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who created the world, and he gave fixed laws that never change. The Shelo Yishanus Tafkidam, right? The physical elements in the universe and the heavens and the cosmos, they never deviate from the laws he gave. And the Machlo Shemayim, in a sense, is most ultimately represented in the study of the cosmos, and the majesty and the grandeur of the cosmos reflects the ultimate Malchus, the lawgiver who fixed and then ordered and decreed that these should be the Chugos Shemayim V'Aretz, the laws of the heavens and the earth. Okay, so you have these three elements, the Chachma, the Tiferes, and the Malchus, that exist in all three of these systems, the Mikdash, the system of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and the system of the Torah. Okay, and when you see that all these three systems, they're supposed to be in parallel with each other, and there's a common feature, you realize that this feature is really these three features are characteristics of the underlying essence which really unifies all three. Okay, we talk about three separate systems, but like I said, the fact that they are parallel to each other in structure and they have these things in common shows you there's something else beyond any one of these three that is a deeper reality than any one of these three. Okay. Any questions before we move on to the last point? We're running out of time a little bit. No, it's clear? It shouldn't be clear, but okay.
Yeah,
you good? Okay, fine.
Now, why shouldn't it be?
No, I mean, it's an abstract idea. Okay, good. Everybody's happy.
Are you saying it's an ugly
swar? Abstract. Oh, yeah, ugly swar. Abstract swars. Okay, nothing ugly. Abstract. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, we have a few more minutes. Let me try to take the last point. Okay. So I want to say like this. This is the last point is, it's not directly... Okay, fine. So I want to say like this. Is the Mikdash is... the physical base of Mikdash, that's the idea of Mikdash Amata. There is another institution in Torah which I think partakes of these three things. Okay? The idea of it draws from the Mikdash, Ma'aseh Bereishis, and Torah and Halacha. Okay, and that is the institution of Shabbos. Okay? Shabbos. So first is if you'll find that Shabbos is associated with the Mikdash very strongly in four places. Okay, the first place is right after in Kisisa, right after Torah finishes, right Truma Torsav in the beginning of Kisisa. So it right in Perek Lamed Aleph, right Pasuk Aleph and Beis we just read. That's Bitzalom. The Torah goes on. It sums up all the Kalim, right? It's the Ol Moed and da da da. And then in Pasuk, right Pasuk Yalef is really the end of the Tzivoy of the whole Mishkan, which the Torah had gone for, right, for two parshios, Truma Tetzal in the beginning of Kisisa. It was all about the Mishkan. Then in Pasuk Yud Beis, Perek Lamed Aleph and Shmos Yud Beis, Vayom Hashem Moshe Leimor, Vata Dabba B'nei Yisrael Leimor, Acha Shab Sosai Tishmoru Ki Osi Beinu Veinichem Lador Seichem Ladas Ki Ni Hashem B'Kadishchem, Vishmartim Es HaShabbos, and it goes on. Okay, so you have Shabbos right after the Tzivoy of the Mishkan, the Torah says Shabbos. Okay, Rashi always says the exact same thing, part of the problem, to teach you that the Melech, building the Mishkan is not Docha Shabbos. Okay? But I'm not going to get into that problem with the Rashi and Ramban. Okay. Again, right before the Torah, then the Torah breaks for the Yechid Egel, and then right before it comes back in Parshas Vayakel. So Parshas Vayakel, it begins, Vayakel Moshe's called out to Yisrael Vayomar Lehem. So there is, he gathers them together ostensibly to tell them about the Binyan Mikdash, but before Mishkan, but before he tells them about that, is Vayomar Leihem, Eile Dvamer Shetziv Hashem Lasos Sosam, Sheshes Yom Tas Malacha Yom Shvi Yelachem Shabbat Kodesh Shabbat Shoson Lashem Kosam Malacha Bo Malacha Yumas Osevarish B'chol Moshe Sechem Yom Shabbos, and it says Vayomar Moshe Kol Das Bnei Yisrael. Still in the same gathering, Zedavar Shetziv Hashem Leihem or Kchum Eitchem Truma Lashem Kondiv the whole Mishkan. Okay, so again, in the when the Torah finishes the Tzivoy of the Mishkan, it talks about Shabbos. When Moshe introduces it, he precedes it with Shabbos. And again, in Vayikra, twice, Perek Yates Pasuk Lamed, and Pasuk Perek Chava Pasuk Beis, the same Pasuk, the Torah repeats twice. It says, Eshab Sosai Tishmoru Umikdashi Tiro Ani Hashem. Okay, so the very same Pasuk, it creates a hekesh between Shabbos and the Mikdash. Okay, so, and furthermore, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, right? So it brings down the Mandamar, and the Klal Gadol is really based on this, that parak, is that the whole Melachos of Shabbos, right, the Lama Tes Melachos of Shabbos are derived from the Mishkan, right? Well, whatever the creativity of the Bezalel and the Chachamim who are with him, in terms of creating the Mikdash, whatever are those are the the creative malachos, those are the malachos that became incorporated, they're also to do on Shabbos. So the whole system of Malacha Shabbos is really based upon the Mikdash. It draws from the Mikdash. Okay. Shabbos itself is, the essence of Shabbos is Zeichel Ma'aseh Bereishis, right? Is the remembrance of Sheishis Yamim, right? That God created the world in 6 days, Yom HaShvi, that he rested, Vayinafash. Right, in the Rambam has in his beginning of his Sefer Maspik, there's really a key, the deeper idea of Shabbos is to be engaged in Ma'aseh Bereishis on Shabbos, right? To learn about Ma'aseh Bereishis on Shabbos. That's not everybody holds by him, but Rav Rambam openly says it. Certainly, the essence of Shabbos is it's Eidus of Ma'aseh Bereishis, Zecha of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and it's to be involved and to be engaged in the study of the Ma'aseh Bereishis on Shabbos. That's the heart of what Shabbos is. And then, of course, Shabbos is also a halachic yom, right? With shamor v'zachor and kavod v'oneg and lametes malachos and a whole halachic structure, right? And it's a mitzvah in the Torah, right? So Shabbos also really partakes of these three things. It derives its existence from the Mishkan, from the Mikdash in terms of the malachos. It's a halachic yom, and its core intellectual concept associated with it is Zecha Ma'aseh Bereishis. Okay. So what I want to say, 2 points on this Shabbos, okay? One idea of Shabbos is that it's a complement of the Mikdash in the sense that when the Torah wants to have Klal Yisrael engage in the study of mitzvos and Torah and the study of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and it wants them to approach God in that way through these intellectual areas, it knows that it has to do it through a concrete structure, and it devoted a makom of the Beis HaMikdash to doing that, where you can go to a specific place and you could see the events going on there, and it directs you to the higher intellectual ideas about serving God. Okay, but that's a kedushas makom. It's a makom of kedusha. Shabbos is the idea of a kedushas man. Okay, it's idea of, it's like a mikdash in time in a certain sense. There's a mikdash in place, which is in Yerushalayim and Har Bayis. And there's the idea of a zman of Kedusha, time of Kedusha, where you separate a time, right, every 7 days, which is dedicated to the study of Ma'aseh Bereishis and the study of Torah. Right, the Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos, you bittul beis medrash, you know, all learn other things during the zman beis medrash. The Shabbos is really time devoted for learning about the Torah mitzvos and also for Ma'aseh Bereishis. But the idea is the Torah knew that in order to get people to engage in these abstract ideas, you have to create a time set aside for these ideas, which has a certain characteristic to it, of oneg, of bringing physical ideas of achil and shtia, but it's as desireng al Hashem, it's supposed to bring you to, the oneg is supposed to bring you closer to Hashem, to bring you to ideas about Hashem. So the Rambam ends off Hilchos Shabbos with, I'm not really going to read that Rambam, we don't really have too much time, but so it's just like the Torah knew, in order to reach everybody, to bring them into this world of Ma'aseh Bereishis and to the system of Torah mitzvos, you have to create a Kedushas Makom, and you have to create a Kedusha of Zman. Okay, so Shabbos and Mikdash, in a sense, they complement each other, one in space and one in time. But they both have this idea that they're supposed to be concrete embodiments. Okay, Shabbos is a little bit more abstract, place is a little bit more concrete for people, time is a little bit harder, but you know what Shabbos is. You engage with Shabbos. It's every week. So it's you encounter the Yom HaShabbos every week, just like when you go to the Mikdash, when it was built, you would encounter the physical Mikdash. You encounter the physical time of Shabbos. And that brings you into these world of ideas of Ma'aseh Bereishis and Torah. Okay, so it's one is in time, one is in space, but they complement each other. They both have the same goal, and they're both imbued with the same essence of these two systems, of the system of Halacha and Torah, and the system of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Okay, and that's why I think why Shabbos and Mikdash are always juxtaposed to each other. Because one's a place, one's a time. But they're ultimately, they encapsulate the whole system of the Torah. If you look in the Ramban, on Yud Tes Lamed and Vayikra, you'll see the Ramban mentions this point. How they,
that's the puzzle with that. Like, Mikdashi. Tiro.
Yeah, I read that. Shabbos aside, Tishmor is Mikdashi Tiro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Wake up, Ariel. Wake up.
Sorry, I was taking. Okay, no, fine. But the Gemara talks about that. Did you talk about the Gemara?
Oh yeah, Gemara in Shabbos.
No, the Gemara in Yevamos. No, they ask the question, why is it just to push each other?
Yeah.
It's a tangent.
That's fine. Okay, good. Okay, this is the last thing. Okay, last point. Okay. The Rambam is in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed, Halacha Beis. Okay, he's like this. Eizah Kavod Zeh. What's the idea of Kavod Shabbos? Eizah Kavod Zeh Shemr Chachamim. Shem Mitzvah Al Adam Lirchot Panav Yad V'Ragla B'Chamim Be'er Shabbos. You wash, take a shower, Er Shabbos, and they Kavod Shabbos. Mis'ati B'tzitzis, you put on your talus over your head. V'yoshe B'Kovid Rosh, Mechal Akbal's Panei Shabbos. And you sit with a seriousness, awaiting to greet the face of Shabbos. K'moshe Yotze L'Kras HaMelech, like you go out to greet a king. The Chamishon, they would gather their Talmidim on Erev Shabbos, they put on their Talisim, and they would say, come, let us greet the Shabbos king. Okay? And you have this in the Gemara in Psachim, I think, where it says, yeah, Yantiv is like a governor, Shabbos is like a king. What do you make first? The Kiddush, you know, for Avdallah for Shabbos, or Kiddush for Yantiv? You do the king before you do the governor, and there's a thing like that. But there's an idea of a personification of the Yom HaShabbos, where Shabbos becomes a melech, it becomes a personality. And you, when you encounter Shabbos in the day, there's supposed to be something tangible about that, where it's Kabbalah's Pnei HaShabbos, and it's a melech. And there's you greet the king at Kiddush, and you let the king, you're Malava the king, or Malava Malka, or you escort the king on Havdalah and after Shabbos. And there's supposed to be a personal encounter with the Yom HaShabbos. Okay, because the idea of Shabbos is to try to take these three ideas, the underlying unity between the Mikdash and Ma'aseh Bereishis and the system of Torah. There's an underlying unity, and the Torah embodied that in a personality of the Yom HaShabbos. So, like, you have the Mikdash, you also have the personality of Shabbos. It's like a person. The Rebbe likes to quote the Rav, which says that why are there no Zmiros for? I don't know if the Rav said it, or maybe it's somebody else. But
did you say Rebbe or the Rebbe?
The Rebbe quotes the Rav, okay?
Like
no, Rebbe quotes the Rav, okay? He says, why is there Zmiros on Shabbos but not on Yantiv? Because on Shabbos you have a matir to personify Shabbos and to sing Zmiros for Shabbos. Because Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Okay, you could sing a song to Shabbos because there's a heter to really personify the Yom HaShabbos. Because the day of Shabbos becomes a personality, the underlying unity of these three different systems. They become embodied in this person of them, the Shabbos Melech. And when you encounter Shabbos on the week, that encounter, it's supposed to the understanding and encountering and interpreting what does that mean? What when you encounter the Shabbos, that when it comes, it's based upon your understanding of Mikdash and understanding of my Zebraish, understanding of the Torah, and that there's an underlying essence, and that essence becomes embodied in a personality. Okay, because it's a day, and because you don't realize, you know, growing up Jewish, there's a feel to the day of Shabbos. It's something that becomes very tangible to somebody who encounters Shabbos. You can't even describe to somebody who doesn't know what Shabbos is. A guy who doesn't know what Shabbos is, you can't describe to them what it means when you feel around you the Kedusha Shabbos. It means something to you. It's part embedded deep into your psyche, this encounter with the Shabbos, the Shabbos Melech. Now, for the Chacham Rishonim, it's obviously different than it is for us. But it's part of the whole construct of the Yom HaShabbos is to embody that underlying unity of all three systems in a personality. Okay, so that's the basic concept I wanted to, you know, Shabbos is the this idea of the underlying unity in a Zman, while the Mikdash is in terms of a Makom. But the underlying concepts of all these three systems really are through Shabbos and through the Mikdash.
Three systems?
I mean, the system of Mikdash and Shabbos, in terms of like more of a physical place and time,
right.
That parallel
Torah and
Ma'aseh Bereishis, exactly. Okay, good.